Matthew chapter 5 again this morning. I want to read verses 1 through 12, and then we will deal primarily with verse 3. Let me read these to you. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ begins here in verse 3 with this word, blessed, or blessed. And it's one of those words that is used so much in our day that it's like anything that becomes a catchphrase or a word that's just so commonly used, it loses its meaning. But the word means highly favored by God, in this case, supremely favored by God. The first place the word is used, if you'll turn with me, is Genesis chapter 1 in verse 22. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 22. And what we read is God had created the whales and every living creature that moves, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And verse 22 says, And God blessed them. Who did the blessing? God did. How did he do the blessing? God blessed them saying. He blessed with his word. And what was the substance of the blessing? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas. And by speaking, by blessing and speaking, God made them what he blessed them to be. Sinners pray to God to bless men, to bless our brethren. But when God blesses, according to his purpose and his power, he effectually makes sinners to be possessors of his blessing. And so here, really, we have a demonstration of a comprehensiveness of what a blessing is. We have the incarnate Word of God, Christ Jesus the Lord, who was made flesh and dwells among us. We have Him speaking the gospel, the Word of God. And we have Him telling, teaching what it is He does when He blesses, or the character of those that He has blessed. Now, these are not stages that a believer strives for one by one, or that he gradually attains, or that he arrives at little by little. These things tell us what a believer is in whom God has effectually, upon whom God has effectually blessed. Every believer is poor in spirit. Every believer does mourn. Every believer is meek. Every believer does hunger and thirst after righteousness. Every believer is merciful. Every believer is pure in heart. Every believer is a peacemaker. And every believer is persecuted for righteousness' sake. If these characteristics describe you, then you have been and are blessed by God. Now, this is our Bible study, so we're going to take these one at a time and go through them over the next few weeks. So we're going to start here with verse 3. Here's the second. First thing, blessed. We have some idea of what it is to be blessed. It's by God, it's by His Word, and it is what He makes us to be. Now, secondly, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, being poor in spirit is opposite to what we are as we are born into this world the first time. You see, when we were made by God. God made man, and not the other way around. And we were made of the dust of the earth by God. Did you know you were made from dirt? From the earth? That's what you were made from. And that's where you're going. You're going back to it. We were made of dust. That's all we were, was dust. Formed by God. And God breathed into us the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And our life depended and depends upon God alone. We can't sustain ourselves at all. And God made everything that has ever been made and gave it to us. But when we transgressed against God in the garden, in Adam, man went away from God backwards. Totally backwards. And immediately we began as men, as all mankind, we began to think we were as God. And so the natural man, the way we're born in Adam, we think God owes us something. Man thinks God owes us something. Look at Psalm 10, verse 4. Can you get there quickly? Psalm 10, verse 4. It says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God." God is not in all his thoughts. Now, you know it's pride when you spend hours upon hours looking into the mirror and combing your hair and thinking to yourself how beautiful you are. Well, that's not all that's being spoken of here. What is being spoken of here is the pride of the natural man's countenance. Is the natural man really does think that he deserves for God to do something for him. That he deserves for God to have something to do with him. And therefore, a man won't come to God. He won't seek after God to know the true God, because pride, a haughty spirit, heady, high-minded, stout-hearted, hard-hearted pride won't let him. He don't think he needs God. He doesn't think he has to come to God or needs anything from God. The Lord said, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." He said, "They say, 'Stand by thyself, come not near me, for I'm holier than thou.'" And he said, "These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." When that verse is quoted, a lot of times the folks who don't want to have anything to do with religion like to say, that's what you religious folks are always saying. Don't come near me, I'm holier than thou. But this is what the ungodly man says. Don't come near me. And he says it to God. Don't come near me, I'm holier than thou. The pride of his countenance won't allow him to come to God, won't allow him to seek the true and living God, because he thinks he's holy. He really thinks he's holy. And that's the spirit we have when we're born into this world. Now, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and they are blessed because God makes his people to be poor in spirit. Now, Ezekiel 11, look there with me. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11, verse 19. This is what the Lord Jehovah says of those whom he blesses. Verse 19. Ezekiel 11, verse 19. He said, I will give them one heart. That is a heart that's set on one. A heart that is given by one, born of one, and is set on one. It's the singleness of heart. It's the simplicity that we have for Christ, the single-mindedness we have for Christ. He said, I'm going to give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. Do you see that? Look in your Bible there. Ezekiel 11, 19. God said, I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart, that way you're born into this world, that pride-filled, stony heart. I'm going to take it out of their flesh, and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. A new heart, created anew, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And the new spirit that God gives makes a sinner to behold what he truly is in himself, and thus he becomes poor in spirit. Before, when he thought he was holy and right and God owed him something, he was haughty in spirit and walked around proud because he was rich in his own estimation of himself. But when God gives him this new heart, he becomes poor in spirit. He sees what he is. Being poor in spirit is to know that in myself, I have absolutely nothing to offer God. Nothing. He will receive absolutely nothing from me. And he will receive absolutely nothing from you. Nothing. And until he gives you this new spirit, you don't see that. You're rich in spirit. But you got to be made poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit is to know I need righteousness, which I don't have and I cannot produce. I need to have my sins blotted out forever. I need to be made holy to be accepted of God. And I can't achieve that by any of my deeds. I need to be saved from start to finish by God through the Holy Spirit, through the blood and righteousness of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, a person who's poor in spirit is so bankrupt. Their pockets are so empty. Their bank account is so drained. Their safes have been ravished by sin. And there is no wealth in them whatsoever. Not in their person. Not in anything they can do, say, think, or be, or become. There's nothing. They're bankrupt. And so they come to God wanting one thing. Mercy. Mercy. Begging for mercy. Those poor in spirit come to God fearing and trembling because they now respect God as God. The poor in spirit come owning that we are nothing, that we have nothing, and that we can produce nothing. The poor in spirit come begging God to give freely what God is pleased to give. Have you ever seen fellas that are on the side of the road and they have this sign up and it says, "We'll work for food"? When you go by and you throw them out a nickel or dime or dollar or whatever, and they'll thank you and they're just poor and they're just begging whatever you'll give them. But stop sometime and ask them to get in the vehicle with you and come home and tell them you got about an acre of grass that needs to be cut. And you got some work for them to do. And they'll tell you to go on by. They're not begging. They're not begging. They're wanting something for free. A beggar will take whatever you give them. Whatever you have for them, they'll take it from you. They'll take whatever you're willing to give them. And that's what God makes a sinner who is poor in spirit. He makes that sinner willing to take whatever God will give him. Now, Psalm 34:16 says, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And he says, "But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh, he's close unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." You know why he's close to them? You know why he's near them? Because he made them that way. He entered in and gave them, they've been blessed before they even knew they had this broken heart or this contrite spirit. They've been blessed by him when he gave them this broken heart and this contrite spirit. And so when they cry out with this broken heart and this contrite spirit, he's near to them. He's right there because he's the one that made it. He made it. David said, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give that. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God. This is what pleases God. You ready? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now let me show you a contrast of what this old spirit, that haughty spirit, and this new spirit is. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18, and we'll see what our Lord's pleased to give right here. Luke 18, verse 9. The Lord spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see, they had this rich spirit about them. They had that old rich spirit. They didn't need God. But this is what the Lord said to them. He gave them this parable. And he said, "Two men went up into the temple to pray. They both were religious men. The one, a Pharisee, he was well versed in his Bible. He knew his Bible. He knew what the Word of the Lord said. And the other, a publican. The publican, he was a tax collector, is what he was. He defrauded people. He robbed people. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" He recognized verbally that it's God who makes you to differ. And he thanked God that he was different. He knew, he thanked God that saying it's God who makes men to differ. It's God who's made me not be like these others. That's what he said. But now listen to what his spirit was, where his confidence was. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." His confidence was in His obedience. His confidence was in what He had done. Therefore, He wasn't poor in spirit. He didn't need Christ because He thought by what He did, that's actually what made Him different. Now look at the next person, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He was ashamed to even look up to God. He was without strength so that he couldn't even look up to God. He was so poor and destitute, he couldn't even look up to God. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Mercy. Just mercy. And the Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He'll be rejected. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When you go to your father and you ask something of your father, you want something, you need something from your father, when is it that your father gives you what you need? When you come prancing in there, arrogantly demanding what you think your father should give you because you think he owes it to you for some reason, because you think that it's not right that you didn't get what you wanted and you think you should have your way because you should have your way? Or when you come to your father broken, destitute, needing what only your father can give you. You know, when you come that first way, I guarantee you, if your father is a good father, he's going to send you away empty-handed. But I bet you every time you've ever come to your father crying for mercy, really needing your father, you never, ever have been turned away. Have you? Have you? This is what the Lord said. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. God said, I'll look on that man. I'll give him mercy and grace. Well, verse 3 in Matthew 5 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. How are they blessed? Look at that last phrase. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are poor in spirit are rich in God. Look over at Mark 10 and we'll close. Mark 10. In Mark 10, we read there that Mark 10:13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And it's interesting to know. Go home tonight and read this. But there was all kind of disputing going on between some grown folks here. And they're trying to have some real deep doctrinal questions. They're trying to ask the Lord to find out who's right, who's wrong, and who could get what, and who's going to be denied, and all these things. And in the midst of all this, they brought young children to him. Just children. That he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. In our text, he said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And here he says, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Those that are poor in spirit are like little children. They come unto Christ the King. And of such is the kingdom of Christ the King. That's who His kingdom is made up of. Those who come to Christ as little children, poor in spirit. The blessing is to be made a little child, poor in spirit, who comes unto Christ the King, because yours is the kingdom of God. Everything you need to inherit this kingdom is in Christ. Everlasting righteousness, perfection of holiness, no more remembrance of sins. But as long as you imagine that you are somebody with something in yourself to bring to God, then you are nothing and have nothing. But if you're nothing and possess nothing in yourself and are simply coming to Christ for all, then the God of all grace says, you have everything. The kingdom of God is yours. It's yours. Look at verse 15 there in Mark 10. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Come in that rich, haughty spirit, he said, be tough for you. But those little children, look what he did to them. Verse 16. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. You see that? You see that? That's backwards from how we think naturally. But that's right side up when God gives us a new spirit. That's how God does things. You see that? All right.